Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 16th through the 26th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your bedroom, living room, or home office, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is Murder in the Morning with Tony Bruschi and Stacey Cole.
A fired state trooper, a hung jury, and now a juror-turned-defense attorney. Karen Reed case just added another chapter that feels more like an episode of Law & Order than real life. Just days before Karen Reed is set to stand trial for the second time, a new name has shown up on her defense team roster, and you may recognize it from earlier. Victoria George. She's not just any attorney. She's a Massachusetts lawyer who sat through the first trial as an alternate juror and walked away so disturbed by what she saw, she switched sides, literally. George filed her notice of appearance on Wednesday. She's a Princeton grad who earned her law degree from Northeastern in 2020. And according to an interview she did with Vanity Fair, the first trial shook her faith in the Massachusetts justice system. Her words, not mine. If as a lawyer, I was too afraid to stand up for what I believed in, who would? She said. That's not just courtroom rhetoric. That's a real quote from a lawyer who once sat quietly in that jury box, now sitting beside the defendant. Of course, Karen Reed, she's facing the charges for second-degree murder, manslaughter, and leaving the scene of a deadly accident after her boyfriend, police officer John O'Keefe, was found dead in the snow outside a fellow officer's house in January of 22. Prosecutors say Reed hit him with their Lexus SUV during a drunken argument and drove away. She said she's being framed and that the real killer was at the after party that O'Keefe never made it home from. Yeah. I don't think she knows what happened. I don't think anybody knows what happened at the end of the day. Do you? Do you, other than maybe an animal?
No, I don't think an animal did this.
But I'm thinking like, who may have saw John O'Keefe alive in the snow? Maybe a stray dog or something.
Yeah, maybe.
Like, that might have been about it.
But the other thing, I just really think they had an argument. He was out of the vehicle. She was drunk, didn't know what was around her, didn't know her surroundings. Plus, it was snowing. Bumped into him, thought she hit a curb. He fell, whacked his head, and succumbed to the cold.
Yeah. Or did she hit him at all? Because there's not a lot of evidence on his body that shows he was hit by a vehicle. And you also, the thing that hung on me for a long time was the, and it sounds good on paper, the like the microplastics or something that were embedded in his clothing. Mm-hmm. Like that's pretty, I thought that was pretty damning. But then if you have enough force to ram into somebody and have micro pieces of the taillight embed themselves into your body in that same area would also be showing some trauma. That's not the case here.
There should be some bruising there. If you were hit that hard,
yeah,
there should have been some bruising.
So, I was very much on the belief that she hit him for a very long time. I still think it could be a very real possibility. I don't think it was a hard hit. I don't think it was an intentional hit. I don't think she even knew that she hit him, quite honestly. And I think she's convinced herself otherwise, because that's quite a thing to take on. And look, Karen's about Karen. We can tell that. Karen's not going to admit to anything that changes the narrative of anything other than that she's a saint. And that's what narcissists do. And I'm not diagnosing her. I can't do that. But she certainly has the traits after watching her interviews and what we've seen in them. It's not a knock. I'm just saying it more as like it's a fact. Again, my conjecture, we're just it's the palette I'm looking at for the character of this individual. So doesn't really, I mean, at the end of the day, did she hit him? I don't think anybody knows enough. I don't think it's enough for second degree murder. I think it's somewhat of a stretch even for like vehicular manslaughter. If you can't really show that he was hit by a car, what happened? I think he fell. I think he fell. I think he got up again, moved around, because you don't necessarily fall in, you're out. And then eventually, you know, sat in the snow and succumbed to his injuries there.
We had a snowstorm Saturday night, so a couple days ago, and we got about 4 to 6 inches. We also got, I would say, about 1.5 inches of rain that froze. We had freezing rain. I went and took the garbage out because I had a rotisserie chicken from Sam's Club that needed to go out because my cats love chicken and I wasn't going to have them after the carcass. So I took it out to the garbage during this ice storm. We had ice storm warnings. We had a winter storm warning. I slipped. I wasn't drunk. I had snow boots on. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was prepared to go outside.
Yeah.
And I slipped and fell on my ass. And I would say I'm hurting today.
Yeah.
Like my right butt cheek hurts.
Sure.
I wasn't drunk. You add alcohol into that mix. You know, and I caught myself.
Yeah.
If you're drunk, and we know that they were intoxicated, I don't know to what level.
Pretty high.
They had a lot of drinks. We saw it on camera. So you're impaired. Your reflexes. I mean, when I fell, I caught myself with my right arm and my left and my right leg. And I still kind of got injured.
Yeah.
You know, not bad. I didn't break a hip, for God's sake.
Yeah.
But I hit the ground, and it was like jarring, like, whoa, shit, that was not fun.
Yeah.
Imagine being intoxicated and being, you know, just out in the elements. He was wearing a light hoodie, right?
Yeah. And especially if you're hitting you have a head injury and where he hit his head. That can kill you. It kills a lot of people all the time, actually.
It does.
Because people sometimes, if he got into the house, he still could have died. It could have been traumatic enough where if he didn't think much of it, he still could have died.
The actress that she was on a skiing vacation. Her husband was what? Liam Neeson.
Yeah.
Natasha Richardson. She got whacked in the head with a ski when she fell.
Yep.
Just had a little headache.
Went to her room, took a nap and died.
Died. I mean, head injuries can fucking kill people.
And that's what they always say is if you have a head injury, don't go to sleep. You got to stay awake. You got to be up because you go to sleep, you may not ever come out of that. And if he's drunk and he's thinking, oh, you know, it's not as bad as it is, I'm just going to rest here for a minute. Or maybe it was. Maybe he was really hit hard when he hit his head on whatever he hit it on.
Maybe he got knocked out.
And you know, yeah. But the fact that he got up over to that area of the yard tells me he was not... He wasn't propelled there. And I don't believe he was drugged there. I think he stumbled around a little bit. And
very possible.
And then that's where he landed. And maybe
he was
needed.
Disoriented?
Yeah. I mean, look, you know, it sounds crazy if you're not in areas that get a lot of snow. But, you know, sometimes if you're out in the snow and you're, again, it wasn't even snowing there yet when this initially had occurred. So, he's over in that atmosphere, in that area. Maybe just sat down for a second thinking, let me just, you know, I don't want to go and I want to be embarrassed in front of my friends or something, you know, that I just did this or whatever, whatever his state of mind may have been. I think there's a lot of possibilities that are very realistic for that to be the scenario. Now, I'm not all, you know, yay Karen Reed by any stretch of the imagination. I think she's incriminated herself and made this 1,000 times worse than it needed to be after the fact. And I think her character is shit. I think she seems like a really nasty, nasty human being. Very, like I said, I think very narcissistic. And those people can be very spooky. And just judging by her reactions to the family and things that were posed to her in that documentary, not a person I'd want to be friends with, not a person I want in my life, not a person I'd want to date. I've dated narcissists. I've been married to one and it was hell. They're not lovely human beings. They can,
you know,
they
love what you speak
and they can put on a show for quite a while and they can suck you in. And I think John was starting to realize that. And I think a lot of people were starting to realize that towards the end, judging by the voicemails, text, I forgot which it was, where she's talking about the kids and John, you know, paying more attention to them. And she's jealous about that sort of, she's like, I'm sorry, that's what you're jealous about. You should not be in a relationship with a man that has children. And for the love of God, these are children that have already been traumatized because their parents both died. And you have the nerve, Karen Reed, to be all up in that of pay more attention to me. And I know I'm paraphrasing, but I'm sorry, that's bullshit. He could have done so much better than you and probably was about to. But unfortunately, this is how it ended. Again, being a shitty person does not make you a murderer. So at the end of the day, do I think she should be going to prison? Do I think this trial should even be happening? No, I do not. I think this was way overblown. I think it's way overblown charges. And I do think that there's something a bit shady that was going on with the police department. I don't know what. I don't know if it goes all the way where they were planting pieces of the taillight. I'm not going to completely dismiss that and say that that's an impossibility, judging by the character of some of these folks that were officers. And then they're involved and connections to other crimes like Sandra Birchmore that are pretty freaking shitty, like grooming a 12-year-old until she's 20-something and then impregnating her and killing her. Yes, that's part of this fine group of gentlemen. Not at the scene that night, but in connection. And then you have the connection to helping cover that up for many years of being a suicide when it wasn't. It took the FBI to get in and say, hey, guys, you're very wrong. Mm-hmm. So, again, putting all the pieces together in context, I get the anger and the outrage at the officers in this area. I do. I get that. Could they have tried to tip the scales? It shows they had zero respect for Karen Reed and they weren't looking at her as, oh my God, this is, you know, our buddy's girlfriend of 2 years and how shitty this is. They were wanting to crucify her immediately. Again, not something you should be doing when you're an investigator on a crime. You know, if you
what
can
they should have done is parsed it out to some other department because he was part of that department. They were going to be biased from the fucking get-go, were they not?
Yes, all of it. All bad steps, all around. All very, very bad steps. And it's not worse than John O'Keefe's death, but the second thing that comes in here as being far worse than John O'Keefe's death is the completely unnecessary harassing and destroying of a community over a story that was fairly made up, as far as we can tell, by the defense of Karen Reed over a tip that allegedly some shady looking dude came in and said, you need to look at more of those people in that house. The guy didn't say anything like they killed him and they drug his body out. There's, you need to look more at them. And if you think the police are shady in your area, you'd probably say that. I could imagine you'd have people giving you that tip. But in the doc, that was the tip that led to this whole story of the dog attacking him and their friends beating John O'Keefe up and then dragging him to the front lawn of their own home where he's going to be found. It doesn't add up at all. And then to go on and harass not only just the officers. I mean, look, I can get if you, and not to the level that this has been done, but I get the anger at some of the officers in this because there's a lot of suspicious shit here, including getting rid of phones and things of that nature. Again, may have nothing to do with this case, though, but they're getting rid of them for some reason. Wonder
why
that,
do you do that?
And again, it may not be anything to do with this case, but something else. I think we may figure that out down the line more. But yet you have all of that sort of just shitty behavior, but you have innocent people around you. Look, you can't control if your dad is a shitty cop or a twisted cop or being accused of being one. You can't help that. That's nothing that is in your purview. You can't help if your neighbors have done something like that or they didn't at all. And you're just being targeted because somebody made up a story. And to the extreme as to which that went. And now we know that Karen Reed was connected to it, talking every single day with the blogger. She, by her own admission, for hours on end, there's at least 40 plus hours of calls. Yeah,
That's not normal in almost any relationship to be talking that many hours in a shorter period of time. It's bizarre. Does it show collusion? I don't know yet. And I think that's going to be up to the court to decide. It certainly looks like it. It certainly looks like
feeling.
It. I mean, judging by her indifference, as spoken by in her own words on the documentary of, yeah, I know I went up to the doors of the houses, and I'm paraphrasing, but they should have been the suspects, not me. So that's, you know, it's like kind of like they're getting what they deserve. Karen, again, that's not for you to decide. I mean, a narcissist would try and decide that, but that's, again, not for you to decide because you are the one that is being accused here. So let's fight that with reality and facts, because if she had done that, if they hadn't gone down this road of insanity with this, and they're still going down it, of this fight and conspiracy, she really would have come out of this thing, I think, looking good. Because mm-hmm. I think some of the stuff with the officers would have been exposed. It would not look good for them, and it probably would have ended in an innocent verdict the first round. But instead, we went down this crazy route and then decided to have and feed this rabid blogger that's going to do pretty much anything at your bidding, whether you're instructing him to or not. You see what he does with information. It's easy to understand cause and effect. Give him this information and the willingness to give tons of private information over to this person for the sole purpose of harassing and trying to destroy the lives of many people who are 1,000% innocent because you don't want to take responsibility for being drunk as fuck out there that night and maybe hitting your boyfriend and not knowing it. That is sick. And that is why most people in this are not having a good opinion of Karen Reed anymore. If you're still on the Karen Reed side of innocence, I get that. But this whole let's destroy the lives of people needs to stop. That is utterly insane. I don't understand how anyone can continue to get behind that kind of behavior, especially now that we're seeing what very much appears to be collusion between the parties. And I think at the end of the day, what's going to put her in prison? It's that. I don't know that it's going to be the allegations of murder against John O'Keefe. I think it's going to be after the fact, these actions that are going to get her in prison and charged. And if not that, a lot of lawsuits for defamation and on harassment and all that from these family members who have experienced this, you know, at appearing to be allegedly her behest. And allegedly the behest of the attorneys as well. The communication between the attorneys and the blogger is shocking. Even going so far as to saying, hey, when we come into the courtroom, don't be offended if we don't shake your hand. We want to make it appear, you know, as though we're separate. There's consciousness of guilt, if there ever was one. I don't know. But I think I do know.
I'm really surprised that they put any of this in writing, you know, that any of this was documented in electronic.
Yeah.
You know, they had to have known better, and yet they didn't.
Yeah.
They had to have known this would come out.
There is so much that, you know, continues to come out on this. And I think there's a level of freaking out right now on the defense. Cause I don't know. Theoretically, if they came at her with charges this week, I have no idea if they would. Again, this is just pure speculation. But if they came at her with charges of collusion or jury tampering or witness tampering or whatever it may possibly be, I think your argument's probably stronger with witness tampering. It could completely derail this trial. I know they're starting to do jury selection, but we saw that in the Adelson case too. It doesn't mean they're going into trial for sure until that trial actually starts. Mm-hmm. And if that trial could actually start too, and then something could come out and go, oh, look at this that just happened. I mean, look at the Baldwin trial. That one got interrupted too, right out of the gate. This could do that. And again, all 100% unnecessary.
Yeah, she could have walked away from this trial. I mean, I think Michael Proctor was enough of a problem that it would have pushed it over the edge that we can't convict her because look at everything that went on behind the scenes. Those jurors probably would have gone, there's just not enough evidence here. And look at what he did. We have to let her go.
This was a trial of character. And that, of course, is not how you should be trying a case. But it, like, people are people, and that's how it ended up.
People are human.
Yeah, that's how it ended up being looked at. And Proctor, the Massachusetts state trooper at the time, led the investigation against Reed. But last week, he was fired, well, because of his actions. The text didn't exactly reflect being a professional. In court, messages were read aloud where Proctor called Reed a whack job, joking about hoping she'd kill herself, and fantasized about finding nude photos on her phone, you know, like investigators do on a murder case.
He called her the C word, too.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't want that from law enforcement. They're supposed to treat everybody with respect.
During an active investigation where there had not yet been charges, talking about that she's going to fry and all that sort of shit. You can figure out what exactly, you know, was going on with law enforcement at the time. They were on a mission to take her down, come hell or high water. And I think they attempted without a whole lot of solid evidence behind them. It's shocking where this has all ended up and where it's continuing to go. Now we have the new attorney that's with her team. Not that her, I'd say you have some issues with your attorneys to begin with by letting you do those interviews, which I wonder if she's going to have an appellate issue, appellate argument there if she's convicted of, not adequate representation or whatever. I could see that being a possibility because there's a shot in that documentary where she is going off about something. About not having empathy or not caring about some. I forgot what it was, but it was like, you're saying this out loud, and her attorney's like behind her working on something.
He should have been leaping over the computer, going, no! You know,
yeah.
Shut up! No comment. Cut.
The fact that they let her go through with this. That was shocking. Again, these are not dumb attorneys. These are well established. You know, they've done a lot of cases. So that to me, I don't know. Other than saying everybody really got caught up in ego here, thinking that they're going to beat this. And here's another interesting point too, because they really try to frame this in that doc about almost being like these justice warriors, and they're going to expose this crooked police department and this or that. And we're going to show, you know, show it to them. Show me one other time in Karen Reed's life where she's ever gotten behind anything like that, of being a justice warrior for anything, really. I don't know the answer to that. Maybe somebody does. Maybe somebody has an answer to that. But I'm going to take a wild guess. I could be completely wrong. You're not going to find much, if anything. Again, it's because when folks who seem to be a bit on the narcissistic side, they're not out there necessarily doing social justice warrior type things, unless it's just there to make them look good and make them look like they're there to really give it to the man. Well, this was a good opportunity for her to attempt to do that. But was there a pattern of ever doing that? Because if you can see that pattern and go, oh, look, no, she's always out there. She's always out advocating for the little guy. Okay. Then I get maybe that's a little bit more of the angle that they were going with. But I don't know that we're going to see that as a pattern. All we see as a pattern in her behavior is a lot of very self-centered narcissistic behavior.
Again, though, it doesn't make her a killer.
No, again, does not make her a killer. None of this makes her a killer. But it certainly makes her someone who made a lot of poor decisions after the fact that had those poor decisions not been made, I think she could very well today be a free woman. Yeah.
If true crime is your obsession, we've got you covered. Press subscribe now to the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today for nonstop coverage, expert insights, and in-depth analysis. The Smiths thought they found the perfect babysitter. Sweet, responsible, a glowing recommendation from the neighbors. She had a way with kids, calm, patient, always smiling. But what the Smiths didn't know was that their perfect babysitter had been using that same glowing reputation to slip in and out of homes for years, quietly collecting little trophies from every house she entered. Bracelets, photos, sometimes something even more disturbing. If only they had known. If only they had heard the exact type of case like this, broken down on Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. If they had only subscribed to True Crime Today, Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, they could have listened ad-free before everyone else and caught on to the signs before it was too late. Instead, let's just say they're in desperate need of a new babysitter and some therapy. Subscribe now to True Crime Today, Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts.